Hello and welcome to the Music Corner podcast. My name is Florentin and this is episode number 2 titled My Music Story. I actually had lots of fun this week looking back at my music story and trying to remember how I got where I am today. And wow, what a journey this has been so far. And who knows what places it'll take me. So I was born in the early 70s in Romania, a small, poor, communist country in Eastern Europe. We were a poor family of six living in a poor country, so there you go. My very first hands-on encounter with music, the first one that I can remember anyways, was when we found an electric guitar in the street. That's right. We somehow came in possession of this guitar and brought it in the house. It was black. It was obviously homemade because you could see the brush waves in the surface paint. And it did not come with an amplifier. So it was quite an adventure for my siblings and I to try and make music on it. Not long after, I guess our parents noticed that we all had a high interest in playing music, so our dad took us to the big store downtown and bought us an acoustic guitar and, out of all things, an accordion, a piano accordion. Like I said before, we were poor, so getting private lessons was out of the question. Our parents did hire a teacher for one of the older brothers, but just for a few months. So I remember sitting there on the couch and stealing guitar skills from my brother as he was practicing for his weekly lessons. A couple years later, I believe I was in second grade, my classroom teacher brought in a guitar teacher to offer group lessons, a well-dressed dame who played the guitar pretty well, at least as much as I could tell at that age. I joined the class right away, of course, but I had to drop out after a month. Why, you ask? Well, because my parents couldn't afford to pay for the lessons, so I had to drop out. After a few months, it became clear that paying for those lessons would not have been worth it anyways, because I was getting ahead of that class on my own without any help from a teacher. In fact, I remember that before a performance at our school, put on by the students in that guitar class, I believe it was in third grade, the guitar teacher was a bit late and the guitarists needed help with tuning their guitars. Everyone was worried because they were about to go on stage and all their guitars were badly out of tune. I remember sitting there thinking and saying to the classroom teacher, "I can tune the guitars if you want." So I did. That story stuck around the school grounds for a while and the guitar teacher gave me an interesting look when she finally did show up. A couple years after that, I believe I was in fifth grade, a friend of mine casually mentioned that he had a guitar book in his home library. I froze in my chair for a few seconds and said, "Wait, a guitar book?" He then told me I was welcome to go to his house and get it. He lived some 3 kilometers away from our apartment, so I got on my bike, knocked on his door. His parents opened, welcomed me, and asked me how they could help. I said, "I'm here for Ovi's guitar book." A long story short, I saw 2 confused parents looking at me as I proceeded to go to the family library and look through the shelves for a book I did not even know what was supposed to look like. I finally found it. It was Carcassi's Guitar Method. If you're a classical guitarist, you'll know what I'm talking about. I'll just say that night, I went to bed after midnight and made it through the first few pages of the book on my own. I still have that book today. Wow, what memories. That same year, I believe I was still in fifth grade, I asked for permission to practice once a week on the piano at a nearby Baptist church. They gracefully allowed me to, so I went to the public library, checked out a piano method book, and started teaching myself. Our family was attending a different church at the time, but we also attended this Baptist church occasionally, so one day, the orchestra conductor approached me. "I know your dad," he said. I said, "Hello, how are you?" "How would you like to play with our orchestra?" he said. He was conducting a symphonic orchestra of medium size. I said, "Sure. But how? What do I play?" I remember it vaguely, but he reached up on a shelf and brought down a rectangular case. He opened it and my jaw dropped. It was a gold color, almost new, shiny trumpet. A trumpet. Brother Nico said, "I know your dad, so I can give this to you today, give you a book, and you can teach yourself. We have orchestra rehearsals on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. You can bring this back in 2 or 3 weeks if you can learn a couple of these songs." You know, it's difficult for me to describe here in this podcast how I felt in that moment. I felt joy, excitement, tears came down my cheeks. I was smiling to my ears. I was out of that room in minutes, on my way home, trumpet case in hand, almost running. And from that day forward, I was a guitarist, a pianist, and a trumpeter. Right around that time, I also started to experiment with writing music scores. At first, I would get staff paper notebooks and just copy songs from different music books I would borrow from the library. And then I began writing my own songs and arrangements of songs. I really didn't think of this as a composition activity per se, but that's exactly what it was, even though it was sort of a progressive transition from copying and arranging songs to later writing my own. About a year later, I believe I was in sixth grade by then, I joined the kids' church at our home church. You know, the traditional Sunday school where they split up the children by age. So I joined, and our two main activities there were reading the Bible and praying, and making music, singing songs. It wasn't long before our teacher noticed that I can play the guitar, and shortly after, he made me the main guitarist for the class. This meant that I would learn hundreds of songs, literally, and accompany the group of teenagers as we sang in our home church, as well as many other churches that we visited. I must say that being part of the Sunday school class formed me a lot as a guitarist and as a musician, motivated me to keep going and to improve myself, and also allowed me the opportunity to meet the girl, which I would many years later marry. But that's another story for another time. In 1990, I was 16 years old at the time, our family moved to the States. We moved to Chicago and, well, everything changed, literally. I will probably share that entire experience at some point, but right now I'll just say that this move to the States opened so many new opportunities for me and our entire family. Yes, we came here legally, and I am now a US citizen. I went to the local public school, and they placed me a year behind in order to give me a chance to catch up with the language. It was the end of the school year, and they wanted me to be more ready for the next school year, so I started as a freshman in high school. I came back after summer break and started the new school year as a sophomore. The first thing I did, of course, was join the band. I was a pretty decent trumpet player by then, so I made advanced band right away. I stayed in band throughout my high school years, and that was loads of fun. Mr. Bragg was a very kind man and very helpful. He was an African-American man in his late 50s, a great guy. I also used to sneak in the other music classes and watch Mrs. Wright, one of the chorus teachers, teach her classes. She was a woman in her early 60s, I assumed, almost ready to retire, an amazing piano player and a master teacher. This was an inner city Chicago public school in the middle of a gang-infested neighborhood, and it was amazing to see this woman have complete control of her class, which was made of teens that you would never expect to sit still and sing songs on a Friday afternoon. Anyhow, I asked her if I could practice on her piano in her room, a baby grand piano she took very good care of. She said yes. So I ended up practicing a few times a week as she was sitting down at her table, eating her lunch and reading the newspaper. After every practice session, she'd look at me and say, "Good." That's it. That's all she said. So then I was a junior in high school, and the international club, which I was part of, sang a song at the talent show. They needed a guitarist, and I gladly volunteered. I forget the song they sang, but I was the accompanist, so I strummed chords on a Black Ovation acoustic guitar. One of the English teachers in the school came to me and said, "You played well. I'm a classical guitar teacher. If you want to take lessons with me, I have an opening at the music store." His name was Mr. Huebner, Randy Huebner. He had studied classical guitar at Roosevelt University in Chicago with Pamela Kimmel, and later got certified in English pedagogy, so now he was teaching honors English at my high school. Long story short, I started studying classical guitar with Randy once a week at this small street store called Park Place Music. A few years later, I ended up taking his place and taught there for some 8 years, but that's another story for another time. Randy was a great guitarist and a great teacher. He had me playing out of the Sagreras guitar method and also from Carcassi's Opus 60. He also started suggesting that I consider auditioning at the universities in the city for a guitar major. He started teaching me three pieces for an audition. I played Study Number 2 from Carcassi Opus 60, the B minor study by Sora, you know, the second one in the Segovia book, and Bach's Prelude in D minor. I was accepted into DePaul University in 1992 and started as a classical guitar performance major in 1993 with a small scholarship. My guitar teacher was Mark Maxwell, and the next 6 years changed everything about my guitar playing. Everything. Not only was Mark an amazing guitarist and an amazing teacher, and still is, but being a student at DePaul opened some amazing opportunities for me to develop as a guitarist and a musician. Some of the highlights of my experience at DePaul included playing in masterclasses with Mark and Ann Waller, masterclasses of Oscar Gilia, Robert Guthrie, and a couple others I can remember right now. During my studies at DePaul, I also decided to double major in music education, as well as performance, because I wanted to teach chorus in school. So I did get a double major and was able to finish my degree inside the allotted 4 years. I did enter the master's program at DePaul and went through almost all the courses required to graduate, including playing my graduate recital, but I ended up a couple of courses short of completing that diploma. I'll share some of this later. A few years later, I did go back to school and I did complete a master's degree. This was a master's in curriculum and instruction, and I completed it at National Louis University. Well, this kinda covers my music journey into my more recent years. I spent the last 20 years or so doing what I'm doing currently, teaching music in the public school system, serving in our church's music department, and making my own music by composing, arranging, performing every time I get a chance. As I try to bring this podcast to an end, I realized that it would be so difficult to share everything that actually happened and how one thing led to another. But I don't want to make this episode too long. I will just say in closing that I consider myself blessed to have been given such great opportunities to become the musician I am today. Sadly, I must admit that I did not always take advantage of every opportunity that came my way. But you can't change the past, so I'm focusing on today and tomorrow. Well, if you made it to the end of this episode, thank you for sticking around and listening. If you want to find me online, you can search for my name in most social media platforms. Just type Florentin Tise, the last name is spelled T-I-S-E, and you should find me quite easily. That's it for today's episode. Thank you for listening, and see you in the next episode. Have a nice day.